Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging out. I'm Adam alongside Kyle, and today we're going to be talking about how to handle defeat. And, you know, it's so interesting. I remember during my time with TJ Rosine, who I've mentioned many times on the podcast, one of the owners of PGC Basketball, he and I co-hosted a podcast together for a long time, the Hardwood Hustle. He coaches down in Georgia, Division II school, men's basketball, Emmanuel College. And he'd always talk about he wanted to find recruits, find athletes, bring players into his program that he could lose with. And on the surface, that can sound weird. Like, well, hold on, you're recruiting people you can lose with? What, do you want a bunch of losers? No. It's about recruiting individuals that have an ability to process failure well, to manage and work through failure well, that can handle defeat with a level of resiliency, with a growth mindset that can come in and they can experience some loss and maybe adopt a Jocko Willick type approach of extreme ownership, as opposed to one that's deflecting and diminishing and getting defensive and blaming others. Essentially, looking for people that could have these core attributes that if they had the character to thrive, if a loss came, then you know they'll have the character to thrive when the winning arrives. And I always love that, right? I want to find people I can lose with. And when you begin to view it that way, it really is a great barometer of where someone's character is and where they're mentally at. Can you find people that can lose well? Once again, not lose often, okay? Like, that's not necessarily what we're saying. But in the face of defeat, they're able to handle it in a way that actually produces greater victory for them in the future. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, just about that. And, you know, I think it's very appropriate, Kyle. You know, we're recording this right on the heels of a Tampa Bay Buccaneers loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, I've seen a lot of Buccaneers fans. In fact, if you follow Kyle on social media, there's some saltiness going on. You know what? They always get the calls. The offsides and overtime went uncalled. All these different things. And it's like, listen, Tampa fans, can you handle defeat well?
Yes, we can. Right. We had chances to win. Winfield should have made the interception and then they wouldn't have scored. And yeah, there's
gone
that.
For two.
Should have absolutely gone for two. The rationale behind that didn't make sense. The next day he says, well, it was wet. We wanted to go the overtime. Well, what? You got to go for two. Different story for a different day there. But yeah.
By the way, when we were joking about that earlier, your defense was, it's not just Tampa fans. It's these fans and these fans. They all feel that way about Kansas City. And I was like, you know what this sounds like? A whole bunch of Reds recruiting each other.
Well, hey, not defending Reds, but I will say when it consistently is overlooked and it seems to be deliberate, you get to experience the Red. Like we say, you don't get to live in it. You can be there and then we'll run from it. So I have my little moments. We're out of it. But I know my Cincinnati friends, my San Francisco friends, Buffalo friends, they all know what I'm talking about. But yeah, this topic I think is obviously timely because we're on the heels of a presidential election. But when we talk about like how to handle winning and how to handle defeat, this is why I think it's so important that everyone gets to experience sports. And living through it right now with my own kids is like, yeah, I have a 13-year-old in youth sports and, you know, playing 13U tackle football. And this was kind of a message that we were giving these kids these past couple of weeks is like, you have to be able to embrace defeat and handle it and learn from it and not run away from it, because this is going to define what you do in high school. And then what you do in high school is going to help define how you handle it in college and as an adult. So, you know, you certainly hit the nail on the head with TJ about like, you want people you can lose with because you're inevitably going to lose. And when you do lose, you want that to be something where you can learn from it, get better from it. But you want people that are willing to stand in there with you, even though you know, like you're going to get defeated in that moment. Like when the score is out of hand, what are you going to do? Are you going to pack it in? Are you going to run? Are you going to quit? Are you going to keep going until the game's over? And I think ultimately that's why we love sports. I know that's why I love it. And, you know, that going through that the past couple of weeks, just with 13-year-olds, that was kind of our message, man. It's better to be the man in the arena and get your butt kicked than to be the spectator in the stands watching it happen.
I think about people when they're entering into the space where they struggle losing. Oftentimes it is them adopting the characteristics of, we'll say, like the 3 D's. They diminish, they deflect, and they get defensive. And none of which leads to growth and prosperity. None of it leads to future improvement, really. And you land in places where those become default responses in the midst of these adversities, in the midst of losing. And, you know, you think, deflect. It wasn't me. And now all of a sudden you start blaming everything. There's this inability as you deflect it over to that person. Oh, it was because of that. And it was because of this. And it was because of that. And then all of a sudden it's just deflecting. And as you're deflecting, you're never reflecting, right? So it's simply the opposite there. You know, reflecting is going to be this internal, deflecting is going to be this external outward, that it's all about them. And you look at a lot of people that when they enter into the space of failure, losing, they lose a game. And like the immaturity that shows in these moments at times comes out by way of deflecting. Wasn't me, yeah. Right? It was so-and-so. I mean, there was a broadcast, you know, NFL's Aaron Rodgers not that long ago, where there was a play at the end of the game and he got asked about it. He straight deflected it right to his teammate. He said, Mike Williams was supposed to run up the sideline, didn't run out, like literally like deflected the whole thing as if, yeah, maybe in that moment that hurt, but like, well, what about the rest of the 60 minutes of the game? You know, like what about all the other moments? Was there moments where you could have maybe have helped that person? You know, in advance of that, like, was there maybe a, you know, y'all didn't practice it well enough. You didn't spend time helping that. I mean, there's just so many factors, but, and I'm not picking on Aaron Rodgers, although I just did, right? And I'm just using that as an example. I mean, there's just moments where people deflect. And then there's moments where people, they diminish, where they just don't even take the loss serious enough to ever grow from it.
Yeah.
They almost like, it becomes a protection mechanism for them. It's a way to emotionally withdraw from the loss so you don't become as emotionally invested, to maybe protect yourself from ridicule and, you know, backlash of the loss, that you just downplay the whole thing. You just diminish. It's whatever. I don't even care. Just straight diminishing, you know. Yep. And that happens at times. And that's not the type of heart. That's not the type of response. You know, when I see players like feel losses, like feel it and demonstrate like you can visibly see the emotion, man, I love it. Like, obviously, I would love for that outcome not to have happened and for it to have been displayed otherwise. But I really get bothered when I see loss, you know, losing or failing, approach with a relative apathetic response.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything, and they've just diminished it. So once again, in some cases, they deflect. They just put the blame on everyone else. They blame it on every situation. They never look internally. They never process, what could I have done better? What could I have done to get this done? Or in some cases, they diminish it, simply just downplay its importance, make it seem like you're not as, you know, not as involved, or you're not as invested, or you don't care as much. Once again, a protection tendency that people do, as they put their wall up, they become emotionally withdrawn, emotionally distant, to then protect themselves in this situation. It's a very challenging place to be at. But once again, then there's the third. It's the defensive, where it almost becomes volatile.
Yeah.
You know, you try to help that person, you try to talk through it, and it's just, they like feel like it's an attack, and a little bit of that fight, you know, versus the fight or flight.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like defensive and they lash out.
Yeah, they get defensive and they lash out and they attack others and they, you know, call out others and they blame others. And before you know it, it's really those three that just kind of capture it in much, you know, degree. Are they getting defensive? Do they diminish and do they deflect? And what are you going to do if those are the characteristics that you are going to be surrounded by, and your program will be surrounded by, every time there's a loss? There's just no way you're going to be able to experience the flourishment, because, I mean, if you look at the NFL, outside the 72 Dolphins, no one gets it right all the time.
No.
No one gets it right all the time.
No one's going to win them all.
You know, there's going to be these challenges, and recognizing those three elements within your players. In fact, coaches, if you're listening, write those down. Have those discussions with your players. Begin talking them through, you know, the traps that, frankly, losing teams experience, which then oftentimes produces more losing, and they can't get out of their own way. And one mistake spirals to multiple mistakes, and they lose a game, and then they go on a string of losses because they usually are filled with, you know, the room is filled with players that are exhibiting those three, two of those three, or one of those three.
Yeah. Yeah. With those three, you know, I think there's so much we could almost do a standalone episode on each one of them and how they play a role into that. But, you know, as a coach, when you're dealing with that and trying to get players to really take ownership of it and see that, is like, you know, when you take a loss or when you have that, you can't necessarily just say, oh, that's an outlier and, you know, we're never going to experience that again, and you're blame shifting and all of that. There's no reflection. You're not going to watch the film or anything like that. You want people that they feel the sting of it and they're willing to get back up and get into it and handle it in a way to where, you know, one of the things that we'll look at now, and I think, you know, a lot of our coaches probably can relate to this, and just coming off a football season, is players see sometimes what's happening on TV. And so when things aren't going their way, one of the first things that they want to do is go sit on the bench and not be on the sideline and just kind of like isolate themselves and kind of put their head down, and their body language is slumped and they're slouched. And it's like, bro, what's the matter? Oh, you know, we're getting our butts kicked, or, you know, I'm just dropped that pass. Like, we have to help them deal with failure and defeat and realize it's a part of the process. There's just a quick story. There was a kid that was, you know, on my son's special teams this week. And I mean, we got destroyed. This team is like some of these dudes, Adam, they're on the offensive line. They're like 6'2", 260 pounds in eighth grade. Michael Penix Jr.'s brother is a wide receiver, and the dude looks like a high school senior on the football team. We got waxed.
Aren't there weight classes?
They don't do it by weight. They do it by age. And like, you know, it's pretty wild. These kids were good. One of our kids, he missed a play on special teams, and he goes out there and like in the middle of the play, he's punching the ground and he comes off the field and he's in tears. I'm like, what are you like? Hey, I know that you care, but what just happened in that moment is by you punching the ground, instead of you doing that, you could have got back into the play and made a block. Or what if there's a fumble and you could have recovered that? It was like, being beaten on that particular play doesn't give you an excuse to go lash out. To be someone in that moment where you're trying to maybe deflect your air by showing you care by punching the ground. Like, I didn't use that word deflect, but you know, that was something that probably would have been good in the moment too, is we have to, I think, be more intentional with our athletes on teaching them the right ways to lose, instead of just losing and saying, we're going to get back to the drawing board, or we're going to fix this to get back to winning. But like, how you handle winning comes from how you handle losing. Like, you only get to experience the winning if you're able to handle the defeat in a constructive way.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's Leadership Nugget. I love how Truett Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A, kept things simple. He would talk about the importance in the language we used with guest and team. He knew it was something we could all utilize regardless of having money, position, or power. It's free for all of us to use. One example is the idea of responding to a guest saying thank you with my pleasure. This change in language simply delivers a more grateful and unique way to appreciate others in the restaurant and workplace. It can change the way a team member and customers feel cared for, and I would say it even makes the fries and milkshakes taste better. Simple, kind wording opens the door for so many more conversations in these relationships. What wording can you use regularly to show a new level of kindness? Now, let's jump back to the episode.
I love that you just brought that up, of the young man kind of hitting the ground. I think this would benefit every coach right now to make plans in the near future when you're with your team to sit down and take a moment. If you haven't done this already, put this on your list, to actually talk them through what a mistake response or a losing response actually looks like. And the reason I say that is because let's recognize why you're seeing some of the emotions from players when things go bad. Part of the reason you're seeing the emotions, like the hitting of the ground and all that, I think about, like, I keep thinking about baseball, some of the baseball teams I work with, like, so common. They strike out or they have an error in the field and they come back to the dugout at the end of the inning or at the end of the at bat. And what do? Oh my gosh. It's this aggressive slamming of the bat onto the fence. It's the taking of the helmet and like punching it into the little cubby, or just simply throwing, or it's taking my glove and slamming it on the bench. So what's happening there is the players are trying to communicate to the coach and to the team passion. Trying to communicate how much they care, and that they are actually doing it, although they won't say that's why they're doing it. There's a part of that in them. When you start talking about kind of deeper tendencies and behaviors, they're doing that to try to communicate that I care, that I'm invested. Because once again, we also said on the flip side, if we don't see any emotion, then we get worried that you don't care. Yeah, so they recognize that as well. So what do they do instead? Well, If I show no emotion, you may question I don't care. So logic will tell me then, if I show a lot of emotion, you will think I care a lot.
Yeah.
So recognize that is where your players are standing. They're wrestling with that. They think that emotion displayed in this moment of losing that's unhealthy is maybe them communicating to you, coach, hey, I care.
Right.
Okay. Then if that is what players may be doing and part of it in their psyche, why don't you communicate and teach your players how you view caring? How if they do this, that actually communicates caring. For example, you get a player, like you just mentioned, misses whatever, slams his fist on the ground, basically checks out of that play. Right. Mm-hmm. Man, it's okay. I don't need to see that you care by you slamming your fist.
Right.
Next time that happens, here's what I need you to do. I need you to get right back up, stay engaged in the play, and do everything you can to make a play. And then afterwards, why don't you tell me, hey, that's not going to happen again. Come over to me. Tell me it's not going to happen again. And then actually make the improvements to help make sure it doesn't happen again. Let's see the growth from it. Make the adjustments, right? Develop the resiliency to try to be better on the next time. Okay. Show me that next time you go out there, you're even more locked in, more focused, more hungry to get it right. You want to show me you care? That's how you're going to do it. That's how you're going to do it. Not by coming over and pouting on the bench because you're so upset that this happened and you're doing it because you also want a little bit of the attention to let everyone know how much you care. You know what? Caring is actually, you missed, you know, you let up the touchdown. You come over to the sideline. May you grab the tablet and you start studying. Right?
Yeah,
and
you go back position in there. Coach, you talk to them. Yeah, you get the feedback.
You go back, you get the feedback, man, you wrestle with that internally and you go back in and make an even greater play the next time. You correct it next time. You show up even more intense and at your best the next possession. Now you've shown me, man, you care. You checked off that box. You came over wanting to get better from it, right? Acknowledging it, you know, studying to figure out how. And then, holy smokes, you checked off the box and you got better from it. That's what I want to see. And I think we actually have to take them through it. And I think about it a little bit, Kyle, as it relates to, you know, I don't know if you do this in your sessions. I do it in mine. I think we've talked about it before. But I teach the players how to respond not to getting verified.
Yeah.
I tell them. Yeah. I say, hey, we're going to jump into a verification ceremony today. Can't wait. I just want you all to know a couple things. One, this will be the first of many. So this isn't the only time we're going to be doing this. And secondly, I want everyone to know there is a red, gray, and green way to responding to not getting verified in this moment. If you don't get verified today and you're red, this is what it's going to look like. And this is what you doing that will communicate to others. I make that very clear. I say, grays, this is probably how you're going to respond. Or how a gray kind of individual would respond to this. But I'm going to tell you, if you've got a green mindset, and even if you don't get verified today, this is most likely going to be your response. And I take them through. You're going to be happy for the winner while also simultaneously challenging yourself internally that, oh, it's on now. You're going to see a new version of me. You're about to see me dial this up. And then we're actually going to see a difference starting today with you moving forward. That is going to show me the green way to respond to not getting your way in this moment. And we teach it. We teach it because it's that important that they get it right. I think that's the other thing on this, Kyle. How detrimental would the 3 Ds be if that's what your player is exhibiting?
It's going to be something that's extremely limiting for you to grow and to get better and ultimately to win. It's going to, you know, something that really, frankly, if you even have one of them present, you're going to be hard pressed to get over that.
Okay. Man, you're almost saying our season could be relying on that.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, really? So hear that, coaches. You better not leave it to chance that you hope they'll respond well. I hope they bounce back well. No, you know what I'm actually going to do? I'm actually going to teach them. And I'm going to be very specific. And I'm going to be very detailed. And I'm going to break down the traps that the defensive diminishing and deflecting causes. I'm going to paint the picture of what those three have exhibited consistently amongst the team and demonstrated at a high level of those three Ds, how detrimental that will be, how it literally will destroy us. Shoot, just made that up. Those three Ds will lead to this D, right? Man, here's the deal. It will destroy us. It will damage us. You can't leave this to chance. You've got to put into your notes immediately the teaching and the development of how to respond well and what you as a coach, how you view passion and failure. I think that's the other thing, what I kind of been alluding to. You need to communicate how you view passion and failure. And I don't view passion and failure as slamming my helmet, throwing my glove. That is, in my opinion, immaturity and failure.
Oh, yeah. It communicates more that you care about yourself than the team. I think that's one of the things I mentioned to that young man is like, I know that you care, but by that action, you're communicating that you're more important than the team because you checked out and now we're 10 on 11. And I think players need to be reminded of that. There's a, like you said, there's a right way and a wrong way to respond in that moment. And for those that are getting ready to start winter sports here at the beginning of the season, it's a great opportunity to talk to the team, have those conversations. And I think just show clips, you know, for coaches that are on social, create a file, create a folder of the good and the bad, and sometimes use those moments. And then as you get to your own film, create a tab where you're showing the appropriate response, praise the players for that, and show the negative response and talk through it of how it could be better. I think those are great opportunities for coaches to really teach those lessons to the team. And then for us as coaches is to live it and make sure that it's not something we're preaching and not living out, but that we're modeling that in our responses during the game and immediately afterwards.
I remember I had a player, this was a couple of years ago, a basketball player. They lost the game on Friday. They came back in on Saturday. So their Friday night home game, came back in for a light workout on Saturday, right? Shoot around and stuff like that, stretching, a little workout, and lead them up on that day. And I remember the player came in on Saturday morning and, man, you could just tell there was like a, just a blah vibe, right? Like down, body language, not great, not much energy, enthusiasm. And I remember talking, I was standing next to the coach and, you know, he had been there for a couple minutes, but then he walked by coach and I, and you could tell when he was kind of interacting with peers, that he just wasn't in great spirits. It just wasn't energetic. Didn't really have, and he walked by as he was going to the basketball rack. And I remember being like, yo, what's up, bro? Yo, what's wrong with you? And it was interesting. He's like, what you mean, coach? Yo, we lost last night, man. It sucks. Totally fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. I remember coach saying in response, he kind of jumped in. He was like, well, if you enjoy losing, you'll stay with that attitude for the rest of practice. But if you want to get it right, it's time for you to flip the switch.
Mm, that's a good one.
And he was right. I mean,
yeah,
understood. He was like, and the player coming in the day after, like almost trying to communicate to everyone, like, I take losses so serious. Even the next day, I'm mad. You know, even
ruins
the next
my whole
day,
week.
Even the next day, I'm down. Well, coach is like, bro. Well, if you want to keep losing, stay like that. If you want to get this right and not lose because you hate losing, then you better come in here fired up, ready to go, ready to get after it. And what a great shift.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Great perspective.
It's true. Like, oh, you want to listen. If you don't like it, then don't stay that way. Let's get better. And there's that. That's the maturity in losing. It's the maturity in losing, you know, and If losing produces a greater hunger in you, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
That's a great sign if it does. And if it produces all this other noise, just all these other things, right? Rather than a hunger to get it right or a hunger to grow, there's a good chance you're wrestling just with the diminishing, the deflecting, you know, the defensive. You're not owning it the way you need to. Is it producing a hunger in you the next day, the next moment? So, coaches, I think to Kyle's point, your whole season is depending on it. This has to be part of the discussion, has to be, you know, examined, and it's so important. So, hey, Kyle, as always, on behalf of you and the team, coaches, have fun and lead them up.